天气在吹响，吹响，吹响，吹。So, for all my friends who's joining us for the first time, you may ask a question anonymously via the chat, or you may raise your hand to ask your question directly. So, Bente, one of the questions that I received is, Dear Bente, when I feel anxious, I observe the changes in breath. However, after a while, I feel more anxious observing the breath as the breath becomes heavy and uneasy. What can I do to calm the mind and come back to the breath?
Yeah, actually, basically, immediately if you start to sit and keep your attention on breath, it may be difficult. Because that's why we are using various other techniques slowly to bring your attention to the body. Say, for example, you can start listening, outside sounds. So various sounds are there. So rather than we resisting them, we can start to mindfully listen. So mindful listening is very beautiful practice. Yeah, you are simply opening yourself, receiving various sounds rather than hating them. And suppose you can recognize birds chirping, you can recognize humans are talking, maybe wind sound, maybe say animals are shouting, maybe barking and etc. So likewise, various different sounds you can recognize. More you recognize, start to recognize those different sounds, slowly, slowly, your attention is coming to the present moment because these sounds are coming and going. They don't stay longer. They have the nature to come and go. And you are now at the first stage, we can say we are recognizing various sounds. And once those sounds are not available, slowly we can be in that silence. So this is very interesting. So when sounds are there, we are recognizing those sounds, and once they are not available, so we are simply trying to stay in that silence. So while being in that silence, more and more we can probably bring our attention to the body, how our hands are kept, how our head is maintained, how our upper half of the body is maintained. So likewise, we are sort of doing sort of a scanning of the body. Now we are recognizing different parts, how they are deported. And then slowly you can check rising and falling, because rising and falling is somewhat gross compared to the breathing. So once you are able to recognize rising and falling of the abdomen, so slowly you can use that for some time. Rising and falling being a gross object, it helps us to bind our attention towards the body. And each and every rising and falling, you are paying attention. If necessary, you can even note rising, falling, rising, falling. So likewise, you can mentally verbalize while you are really experiencing it. So ultimately, you may understand now you are within the body. Your mind is not distracted. Slowly, you are fairly focused your attention on the body. And if you like, now you can pay attention even to the breathing. So breathing also may be very subtle, and if necessary, you can maintain your attention there. But actually, it is not a must. It's optional in a way. Because if we are able to maintain your attention on rising and falling, it slowly brings your attention towards Dhatu Manasikara, elements meditation. So therefore, not being able to recognize breathing is not a big hindrance, big obstacle, because there are many ways to overcome that. Yeah.
Thank you, Bente. And for the next question, I'd like to invite Darshika to please ask your question directly.
Bente, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, I can.
Yes, this is. I have some questions regarding my practice, which I'd like to get some answers, and also I want to find out how I can improve my practice further.
Yeah.
I have been practicing for some time under the guidance of Venerable Dhammajiva Thero. Walking meditation. Number one, my walking becomes automatic, anayasin, and I go into this empty state, large space very quickly most days. Some since some time. Number two, in this state, I feel very happy, relaxed, and calm, and light. I was wanting to go to this state and was developing an extra likeness. Hence, now when I go to this state, I try to want to be in the extra state. That's just a note. Third, I feel detached from the physical body because it seems as if the body is just walking like a robot. Four, when I am in this state, I call it the mode. Only occasionally I will experience one of the components of the four elements. Example, short vibration or tightness of a limb or pain. It is mainly thoughts that come. When any one of the above comes, I can still continue to be in the same state, but of course, I feel like a second person. A detective is noting what's coming and or arising and what's going or disappearing. It doesn't interfere with my mood, as the detective is so sharp and catching my thoughts or noting as soon as the thoughts arise at the end, as they arise at the end. I can't remember what they were. But on some occasions, example, if I get a very sharp pain, it interferes with my mood, and I feel that I have to come down to earth as the detective has failed to do his job. Then, of course, the response differs depending on the severity. Sometimes while I can still continue to walk, the mind goes goes to the spot where there is pain and has to watch it very closely. It will disappear also sometime, and I can go back to my mood without any difficulty. But it is the pain. If the pain is very severe, what I do is I focus my attention to where there is severe pain and try to trace towards the beginning. Then it subsides, but the pain will reoccur in another place, and so forth. After contemplating like this, if the pain is still continuing, and doesn't go away, I get back to the normal walking, or I think this is a dukkha, I can't do anything. It's beyond my control, but it will change and continue the walking, saying it, Dhamma, thinking that it's a So my question is, first I want to find out whether these are anusaya kalas. Number two is how I can understand, although I can understand the physical bodily phenomena occurring according to the four elements, and it's just continuing to do its own process. But what I can't understand is, how will you explain what is happening to the mental process? As I am not thinking and thoughts just come and go, and I am not manifesting sankhara, I wonder whether I wonder, please, Bhante, whether you can explain what is happening to the mental process. Number three is, how can I improve my meditation further?
Yeah, good. So basically, you are doing well. So as much as possible, we need to maintain our attention in that free state, because you have mentioned that you are able to maintain sort of a spacious, empty spaciousness. So that is actually become our island. So as much as possible, that is our mindful space, and we have to maintain our attention more there, rather not attention, rather we simply have to live there. So when we are living there, assume that mind get attached to something, because our mind has various habitual tendencies. So again, so mind go and grasp something. On such situation, the mindfulness helps us to understand that attachment, and we can simply let it go. Again, mind returns back to that mindful space, mindful spaciousness. So this is the kind of practice we again and again have to continue. And at this level, it is not necessary to go and sort of observe various kinds of phenomena just to understand how they occur, because we already did that. Since we went through such kind of a practice for a long time, then actually mind understood that they are impermanent, they are not under my control, and they are sort of suffering. So that's why it has let go of that. So now, once everything has let go of, now mind has become free. So this freedom has to be further developed. So this is this freedom is the, we can say, kind of the oasis. This is the island. So while being there, now we further have to improve our mindfulness, further have to improve our Dhamma Vichaya investigation, our wisdom, our effort. Because even though this freedom we have recognized, still we can't maintain it for a long time. So that is why the Noble Eightfold Path come to the picture, as I discussed even today. So we recognize there's a kind of a freedom of the mind, but still I can't maintain it for the whole day.
Yes.
Because again and again, mind go and attach with something, again and again entangle with something. So this is something we honestly recognize, we humbly recognize. So at that time, we have to apply mindfulness. At that time, we have to apply wisdom when mind has grasped. So Buddha very beautifully explained this in the Indriya Bhavana Sutta, where one is encouraged to maintain this equanimity, spacious equanimity. And unfortunately, when we see something, assume that mind get attracted. Again, mind get attached. So now we have to recognize this attached state, this agitated state is rough, is something gross. Because we were in a very simple, unattached, spacious kind of a state. That is very simple in a way. Very, very peaceful. But now this agitated state is very gross, olarika. Agitated state is gross. So once we recognize that agitated state as a gross, grasping, heavy, burden kind of a state, and simply we have to let it go and return back to that unagitated, unattached, peaceful, mindful space. So likewise, there are many different ways Buddha explained how to return back to that mindful space, return back to that island, return back to that spaciousness, that peacefulness, peaceful state of the mind. So this is the practice that we need to further improve. And this is the way, in a way, that we are sort of weakening the anusaya. So why our mind get attracted? That is because the anusaya have given some sort of a triggering, some sort of a stimulation. So that's why immediately they have sort of manifested as pariyutthana kilesa, as the obsessive level, evident level. And as a result, mind go and attach to something. Mind has sort of become a temporary victim to it. But now we have the wisdom and mindfulness, and we recognize it. Now we are not promoting that habit. We are not promoting that anusaya. Rather, we recognize it and then simply let it go. So now we are in a process of weakening the anusaya. We recognize it. We recognize how mind go and attach. We see it, we observe it, we recognize it, and slowly we are weakening it. Weakening in the sense we are not promoting it, we are not supporting it. So this is how we need to slowly weaken the anusaya and ultimately uproot anusaya. And more and more try to maintain your mind silent, very quiet, very peaceful. So that even a subtle reaction, even a subtle defilement is visible in the mind. And then you have asked kind of a mental process. So I don't know whether did I answer all the questions or still you have any question?
Yes, Bhante, you answered all. But I want to know is now when you if some thought comes even, it just clicks that a thought came, but I can continue my walking in that space. There's no problem. Do I need to go into this thought? Because sometimes it is so boring and feel so lazy that you feel just now the thoughts and everything are not coming so frequently. So there, I feel that it's like a state where suddenly I get a jerk and then I feel as if I got up and feel so bored. So I can't, I somehow make a point to wait that hour till the alarm goes. So do I need to see what these thoughts are, or as I just doing it, catch it there and just without going into detail,
yeah.
Just continue.
Yeah, basically, when you are familiarizing with this state, you better stay there as long as possible. Because even though it appear like boring, so because our mind is used to agitation, we like excitement, we like various kind of agitation, we like to become sort of sorrowful, rather than simply being maintain a kind of equanimity. Because the equanimity appear like boring. No sort of no incident, no kind of any stimulation appear like boring. So we like to get stimulated, we like to get agitated, we like to get excited. But now in the practice, more and more we are towards the just be, not doing anything, not reacting. So you need to sort of familiarize with that state. It is true that it is boring. It is true that it's kind of a monotony. But we have to slowly familiarize with it. Now, say, for example, at the moment, you can stay there 15 minutes. No problem. But next time, I'm just giving an example. So, if suppose now you can stay there for 15 minutes. Now, next time, just improve it. Now, suppose at the end of the 15 minutes, you feel utter bored and that's why you stop it. But next time, try to be there for 16 minutes. Next time, 17 minutes. Next time, 18 minutes. Likewise, you have to further improve, just be. Not doing anything, just be. But ultimately, you may feel bored and maybe the meditation session itself may stop it, may conclude it. So you may feel certain symptoms that now the session is over. Then you can stop it. Rather than you purposely stop the session, let the session take over its own sort of the period and you simply facilitate it. You don't need to purposely stop the session.
So even if I won't keep the alarm, or even if the alarm goes, if I can stay.
Yeah, better stop using the alarm now. Better stop using the alarm now. Because now allow the process to govern the whole thing. Now, say for example, at the beginning we have the attitude, okay, I need to sit at this time, I need to sit this long. So likewise, we did some sort of a control, we did some sort of a manipulation. But now the process is taking over. Now we simply allow the meditation to happen rather than we control. You have heard that Karana Bhavana and Kirena Bhavana. Karana is the one that we do meditate. But now meditation happens. We allow it to happen. So you don't need to use alarm. Rather, you simply sit and allow the process to slowly take over. And you simply maintain a kind of passive role while maintaining the mind in that space, in that unattached state, peaceful state, and as long as it likes, it let it be. Because now this is the kind of building up time. So this is the now time of the energizing time, where your mind is recognizing that peaceful state, recognizing that unattached state. So that you need to facilitate. Later, anyway, assume that you can immediately go there, even at while walking you are there, while talking you are there, while doing another thing you are there.
Yeah, I can do that. Like when I'm going in the car, I want, I can go into that mode.
So that, then you need to facilitate that.
Like even now when I'm, last year, my aim was to improve Sampajanya. I did achieve it to some extent. This year I'm trying to develop more. So now when I'm brushing my teeth, earlier when I started, I used to think brushing. Then I thought hardness. The water flowing and that sort of thing. Now I just observe, so yes. I can go into that state and just watch.
Exactly. They are now, since your mind already recognized that freedom, just maintain in that relaxed freedom as much as possible. But within that relaxed freedom, you are brushing the teeth. You don't need to specify your attention to any particular action. Rather keep it sort of pervaded, keep it unattached. So your mind is not going and grasping any kind of a task. Rather, mind is now familiarizing with non-grasping.
Yes. So during the day, during my meditation, even seated, I go into that state. Now when I'm attending to my daily activities, I know if I mindfulness has been broken, like when lust thought comes and all that, then I just go back to see why I got that thought. That is okay.
Yeah, fine. Because there you are recognizing the defilement, no?
Yes.
So, because we couldn't maintain the freedom because mind still become a victim of a kind of a habit, kind of a defilement. Yes. So there we have to properly recognize what is the defilement and honestly understand still I have lust. Honestly, I have to understand, yes. Okay, I have anger. So likewise, so this is a kind of a recognition. And once we recognize it, we can let it go.
Okay. Thank you, Bhante. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thirvan Sarnay.
Okay.
For the next question, I'd like to invite Namolka to please ask your question.
Yes, Bhante, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Bhante, I just concluded a 9-day retreat, a residential retreat, but it was on Zoom by a nun from Sri Lanka called Udagama Therika.
Right.
And after about 4 days of my meditation, I normally have also meditated with Bhante Dhammajiva. In Anapanasati, I watch my breath to the very end, and the inhale is very short. But after a while, I don't know what happens, my mind stands still. And I'm as if I'm watching my own consciousness.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to maintain that maybe for 5-10 minutes at the beginning, but towards the end, it did last a while. But within that concentration, I can feel it sort of going to a peak and then coming down. And then when I asked her at an interview, she said, just watch the coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm mindful of the decline of the concentration, but because I'm mindful, the next time it goes further up, I'm more concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
But then it comes down again. Like that, I go on for about 45 minutes. Is that all right or what is it?
No, basically, so at that time, I mean, it is true that you are concentrated. What is the type of object to which that you are concentrated?
When you say object, I'm conscious because I can't feel my presence, but I don't feel my body.
Yeah, so basically you have sort of a concentration, but you can't recognize any prominent object.
No, sometimes if I go beyond the 45 minutes and I have a pain on my knee,
right,
then I visualize my knee and I go into my pain,
right,
and I just say pain, pain. But the very fact that I'm mindful of the pain, I'm going back to a higher concentration life.
Yes. So can you explain about your walking meditation?
My walking meditation, for the first, 5, 7, 8 minutes, I walk fast.
Uh-huh.
Then I say lifting, pushing, dropping.
Mm-hmm.
That's another 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Then lifting, pushing, down and pressing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is quite slow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I found if I do that for about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
As I sit down, I get quite concentrated.
Yeah. So basically now you got to relax a little. Now while walking, you can completely stop this mental verbalization. Rather,
yeah.
allow the mind to softly, quietly watch the whole process.
Okay.
So then, I mean, basically the mind should not be pushed right now. Rather, simply allow to synchronize with the, now you have the watching or the observing mental process as well as the ongoing physical process. You understand that, right? So simply keep your mental process well synchronized with the physical process with a quiet mind, very relaxed mind. So that way, allow the mind to see each and every bit of the whole process. Say when you are lifting your leg, so there are series of movements, series of weight, series of lightness, series of heaviness, series of hardness. So likewise, allow the mind to do some sort of a thin slicing of time so that you are recognizing each and every bit of this whole process with a very quiet mind. So we are actually improving sampajanya, clear comprehension. This clear comprehension help us to understand very different aspects of the element characteristics.
Right.
So your mind is well refined, well concentrated, but very quiet, and the whole mental energy being used to recognize various element characteristics, and more element characteristics are now visible.
Right.
So
normally, I mean, I sort of stick to this method. The only difference that I found in her normal, in her discussion was that she said when you put your foot down to watch the elements.
Yes.
And I found that a little disturbing at this point.
No, what I am telling you also the same. Now you are recognizing elements.
Right.
So, I mean, when you keep a very quiet mind, and very closely observing all this physical process, what you are retrieving is nothing but elements.
Right, okay.
Same thing. So actually, this mental verbalization actually hinders at this level. It covers this.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's why I asked you to stop that completely and observe the whole process with a very quiet, pleasant, equanimous mind so that the element characteristics become more evident.
Okay. So, Bhante, thank you very much. Thank you. I really appreciate it. May you attain this very life.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
And I believe this will be the last question. I'd like to invite Chitra Devi to place her question.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Bhante, I'm just asking a very practical question, actually, because we are all doing this meditation and working and sitting and, you know, trying to lead a good life. Mm-hmm. But my question really is, we should we not think of something, you know, more constructive? I mean, by doing all these things, shouldn't we be thinking now, you know, how do we develop or to get into the, you know, the first stage of enlightenment, because we are doing all these things that we normally do in the retreat situation within our availability of time.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we be having some kind of just to use a term which you use in the retreat situation, like a time table or something, that this week we should be doing this, or this month we should be concentrating on this, with a view to going into that state of enlightenment. I'd just like to know what you think of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure in the monasteries a lot of people are trained to do certain things to attain some kind of stage of enlightenment. So we can't, since we are lay people, we are a bit behind on all that, but at least we should try. That's what I think. Anyway, I like your opinion, Bhante. Thank you.
Yeah, so basically we can't do that kind of a strict planning on these things. So that actually can lead to kind of an agitation and the expectations. Actually, if you are trying to achieve something while meditating, then it becomes a hindrance. It becomes a kind of a burden to your practice. Rather, during the practice, you simply have to maintain a beginner's mind. So a very simple, very beginner's mind. So that is where the profound kind of understanding is possible. It is not that I already did this, I already did that, my plan is this, on next week I am attaining Sotapanna, and after one month I am attaining Sakadagami. So likewise, you can't plan like that. Instead, at this very moment, you are simply watching the mind. So at this moment, how is the state of the mind? Is it grasping? Has it sort of burdened? Is it heavy? Or is it light? Is it sort of free from defilement, free from attachment? So like that, each and every moment is a kind of a process of enlightenment. It is not that we are trying to meditate today to become enlightened in the next year. Rather, at this very moment, come back to yourself and check. Is it burning, or is it sort of released? Is it kind of burden, or is it kind of lightness? Is it kind of agitated, or is it free? Is it kind of, entangled, or is it completely unentangled? So likewise, we need to, each and every moment, we have to check what is the state of the mind. So the whole practice, that is why it is, we can say, Buddha very beautifully mentioned in Baddhekarattha Sutta, Pachuppannancha yo dhammang tatta tatta vipassati. At this very moment, there are certain things are happening due to various causes and conditions. So tatta tatta vipassati, there one is doing the vipassana practice. At that very moment, one is applying mindfulness and developing the wisdom. So this is the kind of a process one has to maintain. So if our mind is burdened with kind of a plan, so that is actually become a hindrance.
So, Bhante, I don't interfere with my meditation. I just let it go. And when it comes to meditation and walking meditation, I just let it go, let it happen. So, I don't interfere with any of those things. So, I think I'm doing the correct thing there.
Yes.
Really, I was just sort of talking in terms of in between those periods of time, you know, with family life and work all these other things.
Yeah.
Whether there was anything else that we, I mean, of course, we are living the Dharma, we are being mindful as well within reasonable limits, but was there, and surely we can't go to put pressure, which I don't, because again, that is a very negative and craving, then the craving comes in and then interferes with everything else. I don't allow that to happen, especially in my meditation, but I just wondered whether we could do the, you did say to look at the mind in between, and we can look at the mind.
Yes.
Is there anything else that we can do to...
So that's why, I mean, Buddha mentioned that about five types of support that one needs to maintain one's sila, morality, and then one has to say listen to Dhamma or read Dhamma so that we know that we are in the correct track. That is the Sutanugrahita, that one has to further improve one's knowledge, and then one has to do sort of very good discussion so that we know that we are in the correct path, and if there are doubts, we can remove them. And again, one has to maintain the clarity of the mind, the collectedness of the mind. So that is the concentration practice, the Samadhi Anugrahita, and then continue to practice the Vipassana Anugrahita. So that is why Buddha asked us to, if we consider as the whole picture, big picture, there are five supports Buddha mentioned. Sila Anugrahita, Sutta Anugrahita, Sakaccha Anugrahita, Samatha Anugrahita, and Vipassana Anugrahita. Sila Anugrahita is that we are maintaining good morality. Sutta Anugrahita is that we are sort of doing some preference and sort of comparing our practice with the Buddha's teaching and listen to Dhamma, read books, so that we know that we are in the correct path. Sakaccha Anugrahita is the discussion, that we do some good discussions and again we are clarifying various doubts. Again, we are putting in the correct track. And Samatha Anugrahita is the development of the concentration, maintaining the correct amount of concentration. Vipassana is the continuing one's own practice, mindfulness practice. So, we basically have to maintain all these supports at proper times. So, when we are continuing our practice with all these five supports, then Buddha says, one has the potential to develop higher understanding. So this is, so therefore, I mean, we need to maintain these supports, and it is true that we have to have kind of an aim. Okay, I want to become enlightened. No, I want to be free from samsara. So that's a kind of a light-weighted kind of a direction has to be there in the mind. But during the practice, we have to have a very, very soft, very gentle approach, very mindful approach, beginner's approach, so that we are able to have an unburdened mind during the practice. I think you are doing well, and it's a matter of continuing one's practice, so the results will naturally happen.
Yes, Vanti, I think I'm doing all these five supports, very mindful of those. I am doing it, especially in this corona period where we were able to work from home also, you know, at times.
Yeah.
So, I am doing all of that. So, right. Anyway, so what you're saying is there will, I think, from listening to what you're saying, I'm doing the correct thing. So, that's all that we can do. You know, we can't do anything more than that.
Yeah, the thing is, we can't forcefully get the results. Rather, we are preparing the causes and conditions. So, the results has to happen naturally when we are continuing the practice, the necessary quality is being developed, and when they reach us to some culmination, the results may be available.
Yes, but I think that in a positive manner, it's a good thing to have this goal behind.
So that's a kind of a direction.
In a soft way.
Yes.
Not to force. I don't do any of those things now. I mean, when we were much younger, we used to do all of those things, you know, wanting this and that.
Yeah.
But now all of that has been dropped, and everything's rather soft in many ways. Because you see, we want to use this very life to achieve whatever we can achieve.
Yeah, definitely. That's right. I mean, that's kind of a goal, kind of an aim. Is useful so that we are not sort of wavering in this and that. So that aim actually will defined as we continue, because even the aim become, you know, kind of matured as we continue. Now, say for example, at the beginning of our practice, we consider Nibbana like this, Nibbana like that. So we have a kind of a vision. And after some amount of practice, so that vision may change. Okay, this has to be like this. This has to be like that. So when compared to the previous vision, previous view, present view is more matured. Now, suppose you do another more practice. After that, it becomes more matured. So likewise, our aim also subject to change based on our understanding.
Yes, Bhante, because the Buddha said, no, that which we think most frequently becomes part of our,
yes,
part of our way of life, is it?
Yeah,
so
true.
We have to have those positive thoughts, don't
yes.
we, Bhante?
Yes. Having positive thoughts are all right. So that becomes the, say, Nekkhamma Sankappa, Avyapada Sankappa, Avihinsa Sankappa. So those are the ones that Buddha recommend. And basically when one is continuing one's practice, so the one benefit of Satipatthana practice is that the path become clear and clear. So your doubts become less and less. So your path become more clear. And you are sort of, you yourself get to know, okay, this is the thing that I got to do. Something like
yes,
that. So you become confident of what you are doing.
Yes, Bhante.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, I think we have spent 1.5 hours. I think this is a time to wind up. So we all get together and participated in the Dhamma discussion session and again went through a interesting sutta from the Buddha. So this way we are able to accumulate a lot of merits. Let's share these merits with all the beings, and we wish all the beings be well and happy. We'll recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambhatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambhatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambhatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparam. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.